CliffCentral.com. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Good morning, everybody.
I can't.
What can't you? What?
So many animal noises you were making just now. I've never seen you concentrate so much.
There's quite an orchestra going on there.
There was a lot of animals in the studio, yeah. Not as many as when I asked you to do a whole animal menagerie. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah. All right. That should wake you the hell up. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Said to Sia this morning, I bounded in here like a... I'm five. When November and December roll around, I'm like a five-year-old. I'm just happy all the time.
Mm.
I know it's very annoying to people who are not happy all the time. It's very annoying. I get it.
No, it's inspiring.
No, it's fantastic for me. It's terrible for everyone else because they're like, what is wrong with this guy?
And what is it for you this time of the year?
I just love... You know what? How many years have you been around me in December and November?
You love Christmas.
I just love it. I'm happy. I see all the people I want to see. I do all the things I want to do. The weather's great. I'm a summer human being. I hate winter. Mm. And it's just the end of the year, and you've had a busy year, and everybody's been working hard. You get to a point where you just need to take it easy, and this is the time of year to do that. Everybody starts to get into that festive kind of vibe, and they're happy. They're genuinely happy. You see them at restaurants at lunchtime, and they have these long, boozy lunches.
Oh, end-of-year parties. Oh,
end-of-year parties. All right, so Sia's here today, which is very good. That's a great
He's
start.
Alive.
We're all worried he was dead yesterday. He wasn't dead.
No.
You were a judge at the Style Awards?
SA Style Awards on Sunday night. They were in Sandton. That was all good and well. Quite a party, I'll have to say.
I'm sure. It must have been a hell of a party.
It was not that. That's what frustrates me. No.
I do what I do. If you've got a big event, massive event that you know is going to be, you know, long, late night, whatever, take leave the next day. Just take leave the next day. Then everybody doesn't think you're dead.
But I've come here sometimes on a string of life.
Can I tell you what? I know. I've done that before as well. I used to do that when I was in my early 20s. And you can for a while, but then eventually you can't. And once you drop the ball, then people are going to go, not trustworthy.
Ran here yesterday morning, and I felt so bad. I was like, oh no, guys, I'm so sorry.
You walked in. You know when someone comes in with like bleary-eyed, and they're like, they look like they've really just, they fell out of bed with a thud.
Oh no.
And then barely had time to kind of compose themselves.
Mm-mm.
It's the worst feeling in the world. I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So my Christmas bonus is gone as of yesterday.
So, no, what is the Style Awards? I haven't been for years, so how did that go down?
SA Style Awards, a group of judges are assembled from different walks of life. And really, this was my first time judging and getting the call. I was surprised. It's like, what does a guy who wears black all the time know about style, really?
Right.
But that's what they want. They want a diverse group of people. There are some head honchos in fashion, like Gert Johan Kutsio, who's one of the judges. There are people who have been in the media industry for years, like Bastana Kumalo and Terry Peto.
God, you're in very esteemed company here.
That is why when I got the call, not in a deprecating way,
This is very big. This is a big,
what is going
a big
on?
Crew of people. Yeah.
And then they also just want young people who are on the scene and who have their eye out on things. And
you
guess,
have to have a meeting about this?
Several meetings, and for people who think fashion is frivolous, there was one particular judging session where we all got together probably at 6:30 for sit-down dinner where we were also judging, and we ended up leaving at around about 1:30 a.m.
Yeah,
because people just couldn't focus or you know, commit to their submissions. So there are various categories, best, most stylish, business person, most stylish couple, most stylish
media personalities. So give us some of the
winners. DJ Zintle won in the music category.
All right.
Lerato Kanyako, she's the host of Project Runway South Africa. She won Best TV personality, Best Style personality. Zakes Bantwini and Nandi Madida won for most stylish couple.
Yes.
Joanna Mgogi, no nepotism here, who's Bastana Kumalo's sister, won for Best Stylish Business Personality. Who else won? Yeah, there's a whole crop of people. There's someone who is the next big thing. She's a graphic designer. She's recently redesigned the Soweto Towers, and she just came back from the States. She was there for a month doing some artwork there. So she's the next big thing. Her name is Garabo Poppy. And there's also Shoma Jozi, who right now is a big, big, big music star. She just came back from New York. She was playing at the Global Music, Global Citizens Festival there.
Wow.
So yeah, she won for most innovative style. Yeah. So it really was an awesome group of people there on Sunday night. It was really, really great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Creme de la creme.
Where was
people.
The event? Where did they do this?
Oh, excuse us, in Sandton City. But the corner of, where Diamond Walk is and Sandton City Mall. Yeah. And if you aren't a Joe Burger, Diamond Walk is really where all of these high-end brands are. So Prada's and Louis Vuitton's and Gucci's of the world. So they take that entire strip in the center of the mall and they just close it off. And I feel like it's so impractical though, because they're like shoppers on either side of you. And you can tell people are slightly frustrated. They're like, I just want to do my shopping. I want to go about my business.
And you guys were in the way?
Smack bang in the middle. We close off that entire strip just for the event. But it was fabulous.
So someone goes into a store and they come out and there's...
And they can't.
Barricades.
They can't anymore. But here's a bit of the behind-the-scenes process. As great as the judging process was, you know, you can't rock up at this SA Style Awards looking like...
No. So you,
it's a lot of pressure.
So what did you wear?
It was a lot of pressure. So for the first time in a while, I had to, you know, approach someone and I got something tailored for me.
Oh.
And I never, ever do color, but I thought if, you know, this is the time to really rock up in something. So I had this tailored red suit made.
Ooh, flashy.
I thought, it is something. I must look
so
like
flashy.
A judge.
Yeah,
so it was kind of Willy Wonka, Charlie in the Chocolate Factory-esque red matching suit, and I paired it with like a white clean t-shirt and white sneakers as well. But I went for my second to last fitting, and this great designer was so patient with me throughout the entire process. And I look at myself in the suit and I go, how about we just suck it in just a tiny bit? You know, you want to look good. You want to hold you up nicely, all good and well. And he did that and he obliged. And I picked my suit up on Saturday morning, but I was in such a bit of a rush because I was running errands. He goes, would you like to fit it? And I go, no, it will be fine.
Uh-oh.
And it goes, okay, great.
Uh-oh.
He gives me the suit. I go about my merry way. Sunday, as I'm starting to get dressed, I put my t-shirt on and that's fine. And I slide the pants on and it was great up until they got over my knees. And that was basically where they stopped.
Mm. So your genitalia was dingling out like a mistletoe.
This is now an hour before the event starts and I had to be there and my pants weren't fitting. I summed up every single god, guru, idol out there to pray to. Somehow they fit. They were able to button up, but I wasn't able to sit in them. But I just thought, screw it, I'll commit to this. So I was just sauntering around the entire evening, wasn't able to sit. As I was sliding into the car, actually.
So were you in pain the whole time?
Mm,
or uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable.
Right.
And I couldn't even take proper steps. You know, if I was going up a set of stairs, I had to, instead of just walking up as any normal person, I had to almost crab walk.
Oh, God.
Which was just...
See, I've seen people
stupid.
Like you at events like that, people who've squeezed into something really awful and uncomfortable. They look great, but they just feel terrible the whole time.
It's the
worst thing. You go
ridiculous.
To an event. Let me tell you something. It'll spoil the whole thing. You think you look fantastic, and you probably did. But if you feel uncomfortable, all you can think about is, I can't wait to get out of this outfit.
Mm.
That's it. My Uber driver had to be so patient.
Yeah, you know how I feel every day with just a bra.
Yeah, I think about women with bras and with high heels and with
shapewear.
Oh, I feel so awful for women that they have to put on this stuff. And you know, the old days, it used to be about like impressing men and trying to attract men. Mm. Now it's about other women and what other women think of you. Well, it has been for a long while.
Yeah.
And then women judge each other. It's, did you see her? She was looking really good, but she's so uncomfortable in those shoes. I get bitchy as hell, you know?
Mm, and now with all the rage, it's these really high slits that come from the waist. And you see women trying to hold everything together as they're walking around.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's impractical.
No, it's horrible.
It just doesn't work.
Anyway, so style is still alive and well in South Africa, and there are a lot of people who are at the forefront of that. And our own Sia Sangweni was a judge for this year's SA Style Awards. Very nice.
Yes.
Hmm.
And I'll never go anywhere without a power bank at this point.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Is that charge, why you're, charge, charge, right. And you'll always be good. But that is why I sent you a screenshot of all of my alarms last night.
Set 23 alarms this morning.
Okay, I'm not having it. I'm not having a repeat of yesterday. Mm. Anyway.
Oh, it happens. Really.
So here's some feedback. Let's look at an email here from Rob. Rob says, first of all, Leanne Moll is an absolute gem. I'm so happy she's there. Ooh. Not only is she super funny and super frank, but she is 100% unscripted, uncensored, and about as far from radio as old Trevor Gumby used to be in her own way.
Mm.
Love her to bits. Isn't that nice?
Ooh, 16 years of radio made me unradio.
There we go. You were untrained. Secondly, quick rant about Eco Bricks. My wife is making some for work. If you haven't heard of it, it's a 2-liter soda bottle stuffed full of plastic bags that they use to build schools, homes, and clinics in the poorest areas. Apart from the virtue signaling wank of its proponents, it's just the worst idea. Collect all your plastic and instead of recycling it, distribute it to poor areas and bury it in ground and walls. When it degrades, it will not only be completely structurally unsound, but it will also leak tons of plastic and bacteria from old food in areas where it is impossible to recover in 10 years' time.
Oh, no.
Please do not do this.
Mm.
Well, there we go, Rob.
I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of this stuff where people are trying to do things for the environment. I mean, I've told you what I think of the plastic straws thing, for example. It's just a complete nothing. People are, you know, I don't use plastic straws. Yeah, but you've got 9 billion tons of plastic in every other part of your life.
Mm. And you're trying to make me bottled water every day.
I just wish people would stop thinking that I give a shit what good people they are. I don't care if you're a good person or not. I'm actually completely disinterested in whether or not you're a good person. And probably if you want me to think you're a good person, you're not.
You prefer bad people.
No, I don't prefer bad people. And there are, listen, you take your pick in this country, there are a ton of bad people.
We're all bad.
But this idea that people are, and it's because of social media. Before, nobody had any way of finding out whether you were good or bad.
No one was bearing witness to anything.
Nah. I wouldn't know. As far as I could tell, Leanne would go home and kick her cats and swear and rape a nun and drink petrol. I wouldn't have known any better.
Raping a nun.
Now, if she puts that on Facebook, I can go, oh, what a bad person.
You are bad.
And then I've got to say that she's bad because that's part of me being good. You know, there's this idea also that if you're a good person, what you have to do is stand up to bad people. You have to find them and root them out and then comment on them in social media. And that makes you good. In other words, you get the valor. You get the kudos. You get the cachet from finding a bad person and showing everyone else, look, that person's bad. Well, if you do that, you've never heard of the word Schadenfreude, because it is a textbook definition, if you do that, of what you're actually doing.
Which is relishing in someone else's
misery
or
pain or their nastiness. Because effectively what you're saying is, look, how bad that person is compared to me. I'm good. I'm virtuous. That person is a bad person. Therefore, by me just pointing them out as a bad person, you're going to think I'm great in comparison. Even though I've done nothing with my life, I'm a complete loser. I sponge off my parents. I have added no value to the world. I haven't been able to find meaningful or gainful employment since I was 2. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just drives me crazy. So yes, I'm with Rob on this one about these dumb eco bricks. Stop it. It's nonsense. And then just to finish Rob's point here, still having some Mabali withdrawal, I got a little pull on the heartstrings when Dumi mentioned the other day that she wants to do a sipping tea reunion. Well, we are going to have a Christmas show at the end of this year.
Ooh, nice.
Where, yeah, Mabali's coming in and Ooh. We'll get Damon in.
So I've got a long family thing on.
You were so excited.
Yeah, not going to make it.
I've also seen Gord posting in social media, but I have a suspicion that this is actually a Russian bot covering for the fact that he's already passed on. Oh, and they're just waiting till after the elections in May to break it to us like Madiba.
Oh, no.
Last thing, my own Mulholland rant. If listeners love Rich and Ben, go and watch and like their YouTube stuff. Seriously, 30 to 50 likes in their videos is a crime, you freeloading assholes. As always, thanks and love your work, Rob. All right, Benedict's on the line. Is he on Skype? Or is he on the phone? Okay, let me go to the phones. Why do I always, if I guess phone,
go to line three. Hello, line three. Hello, cool Benedict. Are you Benedict. On line three? Hello.
Good morning.
Oh, hi. How's it, Benedict? What's happening, man?
I'm great, man. For the first time in 2 weeks, I can finally listen to you guys live.
Very good. Well, you know, live is always nice and fun because we know that you're an actual human being and you're not a recording. That's nice.
Yeah, that's why I came up. I just wanted to ask if you can, like, bring up a feature that automatically plays your show at the like 6 a.m.
First of all, why are you whispering? Are there people around you who you don't want to hear? You don't want us to hear?
No, I'm not whispering.
Oh, okay. Oh. Sounded like you were whispering.
My voice is just messed up.
All right, so what did you want? You want a feature that does what?
Like automatically turns on the Cliff Central app.
Yeah, but then we'd have to have access to like your settings. I don't think we're allowed to do that. I don't think you're allowed to design an app that takes control of your phone. You know, that would be like it'd be like what Vladimir Putin tries to do.
Settings will be on your app, right? So anyone who wants to can do it, but you don't want to.
Well, how about you wake up and switch it on? I mean,
Your brain is an app. I mean, that's one thing. My psychiatrist told me that once, and it's so true.
Yeah.
I said to her, oh, I've got this app that motivates me every day and gives me positive thoughts. And she says, Leanne, you realize your brain is an app.
How about that, Benedict? Your brain is your app. Use your brain to switch on our app.
Oh, usually I woke up at around 7, but then I remember that the existence also at around 8.
No, hang on. Now, you wake up at 7?
Yeah.
Okay, but then what do you want me to do? I mean, we start at 6. I'm in the middle of the show. I would love to come to your house and wake you up and make sure that your app was working, but I'm already on the show.
Yeah.
All right, dude. What are you doing today?
Oh, I'm just going to write exams.
Exams? What exams are you doing? What?
You don't know your exam.
You're not sure which exam you're writing?
Oh, I'm writing math.
Oh, yeah. Okay, maths. Oh, my God, good luck.
All right,
dude. All right. I got to go. Thanks very much. Cheers, baby. All right, bro. No, it's very nice to speak to you. Cheers.
Small water.
Holy shit. So, Guillermo says, I'm not sure what Benedict said, but Angus Buchan says hi.
Oh, that's nice.
How did we get
Michelle to says, ass, I just want to tell you I love you. I was listening to the Ireland fat story again yesterday. I laughed as
fart.
Fat.
Oh, a fat.
No, she said fat, but I think she meant fart.
Yes.
Yesterday and laughed as hard as I did last time. Thank you for making Monday great again.
Mm-hmm.
Make Monday so great nice. Again. Isn't that nice? That's from
your favorite day of your week.
Yes. All right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure what Benedict wanted there, but you know, you're always welcome to call in, even if you're not sure what you want.
I don't know. I think the point just went over my head a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He says he wants an alarm, but he wakes up at 7, then he wants to listen live, then he has an exam, then he doesn't know what exam he's writing.
That's okay. You just summed it up. Yeah. Well,
yeah, it sounds, I mean, you know, Benedict's just, he's trying to do what everyone's trying to do. He's trying to find solutions to his problems. Except in this case, he wants us to solve all his problems. And there's certainly, I would be a useless ally in a maths exam.
So,
Oh my goodness me. Oh. It's amazing how quickly that stuff leaves your brain.
Do you remember how frightening it used to be going into, when you were in school, going into matric exams, and how much you were told this is the most important thing in your life?
Mm.
You remember? People mm-hmm. said to you, oh, if you fail this, you're going to be a disaster. You will never get work. The society's going to hate you.
You're going to disappoint your yeah. parents.
You're like, oh, God, but I can't do this geometry. If I don't get this geometry right, I'm going to be a failure. That's what they told you.
We were put the fear of God into us for the fact that if you fail your exams, you always have to come back and rewrite them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you want to be that person who, after the great pomp and ceremony of it all, you have to come back now, do the walk of shame amongst your peers?
You'll be the oldest person. They'd always say to me, if you fail that, you'll be the oldest person in matric ever.
Damn it, then I used to think about how, like, you just can't eat for 3 hours.
Meanwhile, there's this dude who was in matric like 4 times in a row at our school. And he used to sit at the back and pick his scabs and swear and curse and blow his nose on the
His legs were too long for the desk. The desk was hovering.
He had like a full beard by like 10:30 in the morning.
He was already going balding. He says no. He blames his parents. Yeah. No. Yeah, it's because you're 30.
I did have someone like that in my school. And he took years.
One of those old matrics?
Yes, he took years and years to get it right. And I'm trying not to laugh now, but
isn't there a limit?
He got
now?
It right, and then he was in a terrible accident.
Oh no!
And he died.
Oh, wait, so as soon as he got it right, after
he was pushing a car that was broken down.
Oh,
and then another car came up from behind.
Oh my God! And I know.
It's
an awful story.
Yeah, shame.
We also
maybe
had a
it's
guy.
Not the most important thing in your life. If you don't get it right the second or third time,
yeah, then maybe you should
do
just
something else.
Yeah, and for heaven's sake, be careful in traffic. There are a lot of lessons in this story, actually. There's now some kind of limit, like you can't do matric more than 3 times. I think.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, I think they throw you out. They eventually just do it onto the garbage heap of humanity if you don't get it right 3 times. 3 times in a row is the limit. I don't know. That's what I've heard.
You go and live in a big shelter area with a big dunce cap over all of you.
But then, then what do you do with no matric? Because I think even
I
the
have
police
family
now,
members who don't have matrics.
You move
and
rocks.
They've done amazing things.
You move rocks.
From A to B and then
like
B to A.
Like the Jackson family.
Yeah, yeah, you move rocks and you push carts and you
polish turds.
Oh.
Yeah, you see, we've put education on this pedestal. And look, don't get me wrong. We need better education and we need more qualified people in this country. Any developing economy, you need that. You need more engineers, more science students, more mathematics qualifications like, Benedict's going to get, hopefully.
Hopefully.
That's what we need. We don't need more, liberal arts students or marketing students or creative people. We've got lots of those. And you don't need a matric or a university degree to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, I get 25 CVs a week from creative people. And I would hire a mathematician tomorrow just to do our accounting, frankly. But the fact is that we've all got this preoccupation with degrees and education and how important it is. You know, there are plenty of people who get by without a matric. Plenty of people. And they have meaningful and gainful employment. They sometimes have huge amounts of work experience because they know that the job market's harder for them. So they spend a lot more time and effort in getting their work right in the job they've got rather than trying to just use it as a stepping stone to something else. And I know lots of people who have a matric who have some huge, huge intelligence in them. They just didn't apply it in any kind of formal education. They're street smart. They're hustlers. They've got a drive. They've got an energy. They've got an ability to figure stuff out. They've got a feel for other people. That stuff you can't learn at school or at university. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's more valuable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was quite an ace academically. Hmm. But when it comes to running a business or doing anything like that, I completely suck.
And we all have strengths. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. So thank you, Rob, for your email. Thank you, Benedict, for your call. If you want to get hold of us, 0861-555-189. Or if you want to message us, 079-748-209.
How's it maths?
748-209. Maths is coming loud and clear. Maths is so good with me. You have no idea. All right. So let's go to some news, shall we?
Yeah.
A couple of news stories. First of all, where do we begin? Let's see. I'll start with Momentum, who are facing a backlash for declining. Did you hear about this story?
No.
They declined to pay a 2.4 million rand to the family of a man who died in a hijacking, saying that he failed to disclose his high blood sugar levels. Like, that's the reason he died.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so Momentum are facing a backlash because they didn't pay this money to the family of a man who died in a hijacking. Nathan Gunas was killed in March last year outside his Durban home. Momentum say in their investigation they've revealed he failed to disclose material details of his health at the start of his insurance policy in 2014. His widow has now taken the matter to court. Momentum CEO of life insurance, Johan Leroux, says, let's say, for example, that you took out a contract when you were young. You had heart problems, but you weren't aware of them and didn't disclose that. And if you passed away from heart problems later on in life, clearly the claim will be valid because you weren't aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is an issue of whether or not the client acted in good faith when he took out the contract. Good faith means you can actually disclose appropriately and then we can act on that. All right. Mm. So there are a few things here. First of all, you cannot lie to your insurance company. Everybody knows that. If you lie to your insurance company, you may as well not have insurance because they're never going to pay you.
Yeah, and it's always tempting, especially with health insurance or medical aid, where you, if they ask if you smoke and you list an asthma medication as one of your chronic meds, that doesn't work out. So you try and lie.
So first things first, don't lie because then you will not get paid out. Second thing is, if you have any conditions you do know about, then you better disclose those. First of all, it's going to make your premiums a little higher, but you will be covered.
Mm.
Second of all, third of all, at this point, because my maths is so good, Momentum and any other insurance company, they have a bunch of rules and they have a bunch of regulations and they have a huge amount of fine print, which you have to go through. You have to make sure you completely understand the deal so that when something terrible happens to you, you know whether or not you're going to be paid out. Now, I don't think his hijacking, which is the reason he was killed, had anything to do with high blood sugar levels.
Mm.
And that's where I think that Momentum have to have a lot of splaining to do. But you also have to realize that these guys have means and ways of calculating the risk and of mitigating that risk. They're business people. They're not there to look after you. They're not your daddy. They're not your mommy. They're not there to make sure that you get money for just not being there anymore. You know, your family get to live off 2.4 million rand just because you don't exist anymore. So you have to make sure that you understand all the details of why you are or are not covered for certain things. And I know insurance is boring. It's really boring. But my God, if you don't know what you're in for, you may as well not have it.
Yeah.
So who knows who was right and who was
wrong.
And
also, I mean, it's weird. I met with my medical insurance broker yesterday just to, you know, before going into the new year, reassess, am I on the right plan?
Sure.
New chronic medications, etc. And by disclosing certain of my illnesses or ailments or whatever, she said, oh, that's great, because in 2019 there's a new plan coming out, which means you'll get chronic medication coverage for that.
Oh.
And it'll cover extended visits to the specialist. Yeah.
So you might even get bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Benefiting from that.
Well, in other news stories, we've got the defense of a former Soweto school patrol guard has argued the 58-year-old man was framed during ongoing divisions over the appointment of the school's principal. Remember, this is about the rape of a former
the security guard. With
right, let me
kids.
Explain. I'll start from the beginning. Johannes Molefe is on trial for allegedly sexually abusing dozens of children from the A.B. Koma primary school in Orlando, right? The school's headmaster, Maria Mtimkulu, has been testifying in the Palm Ridge Magistrates Court. The defense, that's Johannes Molefe, the security guard, the scholar patrol guard's defense, have said that teachers from the school are against the appointment of Mthimkhulu as principal and want to get rid of her. When this was put to Mthimkhulu, who's been the principal since March last year, she confirmed there is truth to the claims, adding she even received threats on her life if she stayed in her office. Uh-huh. I don't know how that has anything to do with the abuse of these kids, the politics of who the headmistress is, but clearly it's part of the defense's case here, which sounds to me like their case is extremely thin. Anyway, apparently the principal says teachers were against the appointment of a security guard at the school. She told the court that she was shocked to learn of the abuse and immediately suspended the former Scholar Patrol guard, later complained with police, and informed the education department. She also says that there are CCTV cameras at the school, but they were never checked. So again, why have them? You know, very, very bizarre. So I don't know whether, first of all, when are we going to get to a point in this country where we don't do terrible things just to get a job? If you're any good at anything, you'll get a job on your merits. But because we have got this bizarre situation in South Africa where we don't get jobs because of our merits, we get jobs because of who we know in politics or because of what family we've got in an important position. Mm-hmm. People get desperate and they do desperate things and they do stupid things. And what that has to do with these poor children who've been abused, I do not know. But it just shows you how rotten, even at a school, everything is when there's a bunch of people politicking against another person getting a job. It's very strange. One of the sad stories for this morning, the Queen's last corgi has passed away.
Oh, no.
Yes. Whisper, the Queen's last corgi, died a few days ago, leaving her with just... She's got two doggies left.
What are
doggies?
Doggies.
Doggies are Dachshund Corgi crosses.
Oh, sweet.
And they're called Candy and Vulcan. So the last of her famous corgis has died, leaving her with just these two doggies. A source close to the Queen said, Whisper was a friendly chap and followed her everywhere. The Queen has quickly become very attached to the dog. So I can only imagine the Queen is very sad. She's not going to get any more. She's decided that she's too old to have another new dog.
It's very responsible.
Yeah, so she's going to see out these two doggies and then she's done.
I wonder if there's royal protocol for passing
corgis?
Passing of pets.
Nah, probably just buried in the garden.
Royal pet cemetery.
Put it in the burner.
Oh, no!
In another story, assets belonging to the Gupta-linked New Age Media and Island Site Investments 180 will soon go under the hammer. The auction, which is going to be held on the 28th of November, if you want to put this in your diary.
Yeah, sure.
10:30 a.m. at the ANN7 building in Midrand.
Right.
Next Wednesday.
TNA Media is currently under liquidation. Director and head auctioneer at PVA, Clive Lazarus, charged with overseeing and conducting the auction, said... The business rescue practitioners of Island Site Investments and the liquidator of New Age Media have chosen to dispose of the assets by way of public auction to pay creditors. So if you want to go and buy it, the property comprises three semi-detached warehouse buildings, each with an adjoining double-story office featuring a reception, private offices, a boardroom, an open-plan office area, kitchen, cloakrooms, and ample staff and visitor parking. So if you feel like some of that, then get hold of them and go along. TNA and Infinity Media, formerly owned by the controversial Gupta family, was sold to businessman Zwanele Manyi's Lodi Docks for $450 million in 2017. Stupid Zwanele Manyi bought them for $450 million. A year later, he applied and was granted a provisional liquidation order for the company that owned the now-defunct newspaper Afro Voice. So if you want to go along to... That you can go to parkvillageauctions.co.za. Although I wouldn't touch any of that shit with a 10-foot pole. Thousands have been evacuated in Guatemala because there's a volcano that's erupting there.
Have you heard about this?
Yeah. Apparently, the Fuego volcano erupted for the fifth time this year, sending bursts of ash and lava down the mountain. Scary stuff. Memories are still fresh of the volcano's eruption in June, which swept away villages and nearly left 200 people dead and 235 missing. Look, please don't build your house near a volcano. You know, every time these stories come up in the news, I wonder, well, what kind of fucking idiot builds their house on the edge of a volcano?
It's very difficult to avoid everything, though.
I mean, but a volcano?
You know, like the California fires, you can...
And the earthquake zones and...
Sure, you don't know.
Tsunami areas.
If there's a mountain and smoke is coming out of it, not a good place to build your house.
Kind of don't want to be around there. Oh, look at how many people vacation to Bali and whatnot.
Unbelievable.
This and that.
In the US, the Treasury has placed a Russian-born South African man on its sanctions blacklist on Monday for allegedly helping North Korea to avoid an international embargo on its energy purchases. The guy's name is Vladlen Amchintev. He worked with Velmur Management and Transatlantic Partners to buy fuel oil and gas oil to ship to North Korea, even though that was forbidden. So now they've sanctioned this guy. So apparently he lives in South Africa, but he was born in Russia. So even we have made the US blacklists. How do you like that? And just quickly, for your amusement, here is Donald Trump and Kathy Griffin in the same clip on a show called Suddenly Susan. Do you remember that show?
Oh, yes.
Donald Trump and Kathy Griffin hate each other, but here they are on the same show years ago. Listen to this.
Okay, kids, make it fast. I've got a plane to catch.
We've created a magazine. Mr. Trump, we give you... Scatty!
How's that? And it even says our next president on the cover. Kathy Griffin, she lifted the fake Trump head that looked like it had been severed off the body and got into huge trouble for that. Do you remember?
Was she never on The Apprentice?
No. Trump can't stand her. Anyway.
He's not alone.
No, he's not. Bitcoin, this is great. $4,810. It slipped below $5,000. And Ethereum at $148. Good Lord God, what a pile of steaming shit.
Oh, joy.
Oh, makes me crazy. Let's go to Sid by Sia this morning. Sia, you want to make us feel a little bit better, especially those people who've got some crypto?
I hope I do. Hope I do.
All right, try. Here's Sia with Sid by Sia to make you feel a little bit more positive and optimistic about the world this morning. Take it away, Sia.
I don't know if I'd be able to do this, but of course we've been hearing about the California wildfires happening, right?
Yes.
And imagine if you were one of the people who booked a flight to California, you were there for holiday, and then you now realize, oh shucks, like there's this wildfire that's about to ruin my vacation. Well, a couple spends their vacation helping their California wildfire victims. Destiny and Paul Klein are among so many people who have not canceled their trip to California, but instead have said
California.
For whatever reason they're going there, whether it was a vacation, whether they're there for work, they've said, let's go there regardless. And then instead of spending our time as we were going to, just chilling by the beach or what, sightseeing, they're actually signing up to help victims of the fire, which I really think is amazing.
Well, I'm happy for them. I would never use my holiday to go and help people in a fire.
Can I change my flight? Can I reroute something, please? So Destiny and Paul, they're from Canada originally.
Oh,
and
that explains everything.
What does that explain?
Well, Canadians are so nice. They're the nicest people.
That's the maple syrup. I don't know what else to say.
You know, if you cut someone off in traffic, they apologize to you.
In Canada?
Yeah.
No.
No, really, they're such nice people.
Yeah.
I apologize for driving slowly in front of you.
Thank you.
From Canada, and they were originally just going to stay at a hotel in the state, but as soon as they saw what was happening, they actually moved closer to the wildfire to be able to safely evacuate people, to help move any rubble possible. So they didn't cancel their flight, and they've been spending their last couple of days specifically in the Sacramento area, just driving around and also moving various donations that people have been giving. Destiny and Paul themselves have, even out of their own money, been buying gift cards to hand out to the evacuees. Ooh. Yeah,
that's getting hot in here.
Just a wee bit. They've been serving out meals, they've been filling up gas tanks, and they've been offering to help wherever necessary.
Jeez,
so
with I think it's 600 people missing.
Oh, it's scary.
They need all the help they can get in just locating these people.
But I think you imagine this time of year and how tired some people are, and you've booked a holiday for this moment. You just want to go and chill somewhere, and now you're working. That really shows how incredible
most people would just say, "Oh, thank gosh, we missed that one."
Yeah, a lot of people are celebrating Thanksgiving and going home to the families for the holidays. And listen, this California wildfire stuff is insane. It's really, really bad. Apparently, Donald Trump said something really insensitive, like, well, if you just raked up more of the leaves and cleaned up more of the wood lying around. What a piece of shit, huh?
Trump, we're trying here. Help us help you. Yeah. Help us like you better. Just don't say things like that.
Such a douche.
I was reading a recollection of someone who owns a house in a suburb called, starts with a C. Anyway, regardless, it's in California. And she wrote about how she had to watch helplessly as her house is positioned on a hill and there was nothing else she could do as she saw the fires just roll up the hill closer and closer.
And burn her house down.
Closer. And she had to leave.
You know, the Kardashians, well, in this case, Kanye and Kim, have come under some fire because they hired private firefighters to protect their house.
Do they have a fire pool?
No, but here's what I don't get, right? Why is that bad? Like, people were saying, oh, you see the rich trying to protect their stuff. What about the poor? If my house was about to be eaten up by fire, you better believe I would use any money I had to try and rescue it.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. What's wrong with... Why would anyone have a problem with that? I think it was the Young Turks. It's kind of an internet show in LA. They're giving them heat about that. I don't understand. Like, if your house was threatened by fire, you would do anything you could to save it, right?
Mm.
I've been in that position before. I was renting the house, so it wasn't that, you know, precious to me. But it was in Cork Bay, and I was in Joburg on business.
Yeah.
And my animals were there.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just...
Was it actually under direct threat of being burned down?
Yeah, it was
down?
One road away. It was...
Was that during those horrible fires?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, if you spoke to someone on the phone, you could hear the crackling.
Oh my goodness.
And
hectic.
The person I did speak to on the phone was even out of breath because there was very little oxygen around. And the smoke and the debris, etc. It was... Not being there was just very scary. And a lot of these people are away from their homes and they feel so helpless.
Well, I mean, it's not just the possessions, as you say, it's the animals, it's all kinds of things, you know. But it's, for some people, everything you have is in your house.
Yeah, what do you take? What do you leave?
Well, exactly.
You leave and you don't know, am I ever going to come back?
Which child do you let burn? Which child do you take? Yeah, so which your favorite child? You have to choose them, obviously, first.
How mobile is your gran?
How many good years has she had? Also, how much fat? So, how much crispiness will there be?
So, with missing people,
there are people missing. I mean,
They could be burnt and trapped in their houses and they just burn away.
But they run, putting out the flames on their backs and disappear into the forest.
Imagine what that looks like. I'm sorry. That's horrible, but it's very run with them. Imagine the flames coming off someone's back and they're trying to put them out with their hands. They're flailing. Like, and then they run into the forest.
And get lost. And
worst place to run is into the forest if you've got a fire on your back.
Run into the sea.
I think what's worse with this is with fire, you
tsunami,
can...
Tsunami, up the hill. Fire, down the hill.
Towards the sea. Okay.
Yeah.
The worst.
But what are they? Do you know the rule, right? If you've got fire on you, stop, drop, and roll.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, but sorry, there's a whole wildfire happening around me. Wherever I stop or drop or roll, what am I meant to do? I think what's worse with fires is you can't be stuck in a fire and survive.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's horrible.
Do you know what kills you?
What?
It's not the burning of your flesh. Yeah, it's the asphyxiation from the smoke. Mm. You actually can't breathe.
You know, with a tsunami, you hear of people who held onto the tall palm trees, or they clung onto a piece of wood and they were able to bob and survive.
Well, nature really hates us sometimes, hey? If you think about these people, have to do these things to survive. So in a fire, I mean, obviously, if you can, you get as far away from it as possible. And you just keep moving until you know that for sure you're out of its way. Otherwise, water is clearly a place to go. But it's just, you know, you could wake up in the morning and your house is surrounded by fire and you can't get out. And then you see all these abandoned vehicles that people have just left because they were burnt out. They were basically threatened by fire on all sides. There's nothing they could do. You've got to wonder, like, well, all these missing people and people who've died, and it's just horrendous. It really is. Like, fire is just an awful way to die. And fire is such a destructive thing. I mean, so is water. So are a lot of things. But fire is just, it burns it all to a crisp. You see cars and they're ash.
Mm.
It's a pile of ash.
And it takes, just looking at the Cape fires, it takes years to regenerate the fynbos. And you think of the wine farms and vineyards that are destroyed.
Well, in California, most of the places that have burnt really badly are places that make all those wines.
Yeah.
So they're all out of business now. Because you can't just, you've got to plant them.
Those are cultivated for hundreds of years.
Oh, what an investment gone.
Can you imagine? Pretty damn terrible, right? So I feel very sorry for those people. I really do. I mean, I feel sorry for anybody, but yeah, there are poor people and rich people who've lost things here. And there's no point in differentiating between the two just because you think, well, rich people can, it's easier for them to start again. Mm. Not necessarily. Because they had more stuff. They lost more stuff. And with poor people, you go, well, they didn't have a whole lot to start with. They lost everything they had. So you feel bad for both of them. It's terrible.
Yeah, but rich people, you can fly to your holiday home.
Well, I don't think they're that rich. I think a lot of these people are kind of, you know, middle-class people who they couldn't afford to live on the ranches in the rural areas, and they couldn't afford to live in the cities. So they lived in that piece of land in between. Like, it's not the suburbs,
mm-hmm.
and it's not the farms. It's sort of between the two. And those are the people who've suffered the most in all of this. Anyway, awful story. But at least there are people, good people from Canada, who've come in and they said, we'll help you, right?
The spirit of the maple syrup.
The maple.
The maple of the maple syrup.
Right, okay. Very good. Okay, well, it is Tuesday. You can call us if you want to, 0861-555-189. And if you want to get hold of us on WhatsApp, 0797482090. Let us know what's going on with you. A few of the messages and emails. Let me get one or two of these in here quickly because I do like to get the feedback. Good morning. I came across a summary of life in South Africa from the perspective of a Nigerian national residing here. I can't say I agree with everything, but I do think the majority of what he said is true and telling. And it's a whole link. It's on Quora.com. I'm not going to go into it now, but it's worth looking at. Maybe we'll post it on cliffcentral.com for you to have a look at. I mean, it's certainly not very nice for foreign nationals living in this country.
Mm.
It's hard. You have to deal with huge amounts of xenophobia. P.S. Thanks for the amazing show. You guys rock, and without your contributions, I shudder to think what my morning routine would look like. It would be dreary, to say the least. Regards, Jonathan. So thanks for the info there, Jonathan. And we'll be sure to go and check out that article about Nigerians in South Africa. Sean says, those effing young Turks, extreme far left dumbasses. Try to find a YouTube clip on them melting down during election night 2016. It's very satisfying. Let's be honest, you shouldn't need more than 3 chances to pass matric considering the pass rates now, says Jay.
Yo, if you pass, what's the pass rate now? 40?
35, isn't it? It's ridiculous.
I remember even in my year, I think to pass maths, you just had to get 30%.
Oof. That's ridiculous.
It was either, I may be wrong, it was either maths or science.
Really?
Yeah.
30%.
Thank goodness things change when you get to varsity, else we'd have doctors who got 30% in
Well, ma'am, I can biology. Fix 30% of your problems. The other 60, 70%, you know what? I'll kill you. I'll kill you just by picking up the stethoscope.
I'll just need to.
I'm basically the most
Google
dangerous
somewhere.
Creature you've ever met. All right, 5 minutes to seven. Let's get your calls and let's get to the other stories that are making the news today. Lots of good stuff to talk about and plenty of interesting things coming up on the show. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.